Hey everyone, and welcome to the Beyond the Scale podcast. This is the 21st of November, Saturday, where we are. Sorry for the hiatus, I know it's been a while, but we're back. And we're looking forward to tonight's fights. Sitting here with Chris, how are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Been busy with work and basically, to be honest, we came over late, we pick up these things and we drop them like hot toys. So it's like, just trying to convince ourselves to get back into doing the podcast. Actually quite surprised that people were actually still wanting to listen to us. I've actually been getting people messaging morning that we've not been doing it, so.
But we're back with a vengeance.
We even changed the name.
Yep. Beyond the Scale is much more fitting than All Things MMA. It's a bit generic, so yeah, hope you enjoy it. We're going to kick off just by talking about some of the most recent fights announced, and we've got about 2 months worth if we're going by the last time we had a podcast. So, start off, Jose Aldo versus forgot his first name, that's why it took me a stutter. Chito Vera. What?
Marlon Chito Vera.
Good rematch. We're just watching Embedded, so he's on that, obviously, in the corner of Perez tonight.
Yep.
Mexican Brotherhood.
Who you got in that fight? Because to be honest with you, I've been impressed with Aldo. I thought his last few fights he has looked amazing, but Chito Vera is an absolute animal. So
do we looked good in his last fights, apart from the one he got fucking killed from Peter Yan. And if you watch Dana White's declassification series, he was like, that referee needs to get fired after that performance. He was like, get rid of him, get rid of him.
Yeah, nah, but to be honest with you, I think Peter Yan's a different animal.
Jose Aldo makes the weight easy, man.
Which is surprising. Everybody was talking about it when he fought, who was it he fought? Remember when his first dropped
Marlon, in? Marlon Moraes, no, it wasn't, it was Eds, no.
It's quite annoying, man.
Ash Jeeves. I know what you mean, though. You thought he was going to struggle with the weight, and he actually made it relatively easy.
Everybody was like saying how the dynamic he's got to make it, and then all the rest of it, and how it's no healthy for, especially when he's getting older and stuff like that.
Well, what about the? So Ian Heinisch was meant to fight Brandon Allen, who fought last week. Yep. And just on that, by the way, Brandon Allen, who they gave him a fight, and he was like, "I can't fight because my daughter's birthday." Give him another date, can't fight, it's my wife's birthday. Other fight, can't fight, it's my grand's birthday. Michael Bisping was like, mate, if you want it, take the fucking fight.
Yeah,
like, when you're trying to get to that top tier, don't give out excuses like that.
It's odd that someone's so stupid, you know?
Kind of cool as well, I guess, but...
Not really, I mean, like, your grand's birthday, you're not going to fight, I mean...
That's pathetic. That's Sean Strickland was like, I want to orphan your kids. How do you feel about that statement? You degenerate?
To be honest with you, I think going out a fight and liking somebody is probably quite a hard thing to do. So it's like, I always like seeing good sportsmanship, but sometimes I think you kind of give people too much respect. And if you start liking someone and you've got to punch them in the face and try and knock them out, you've got to basically really think about what you're doing. So I think that's maybe a bit too far, mind you. Want to orphan them, orphan his kids, but
every man to their own.
If that's how he feels about the situation.
Other fight on the radar is Alexander Volkov versus the Ream. You know, I'm surprised that's not been made a fight already. They've both fought everyone.
I know, in the UFC, they've been there forever. I feel as though I would have sworn, I would have put money on it that they had, but hey-ho.
That'd be good. Actually, I was going to say both stand-up guys, but Overeem's a takedown master these days.
Yeah, my money would be on the Ream. I've been impressed with his last few fights again.
I think he's got a title run. Yeah. Well, he's on a title run. I think he's got a title shot left in him. Like, he's nearly there.
He just gets clipped the big punches. So that's the heavyweight division, I guess.
He does get clipped, but he comes back really well, which is surprising.
Talking about somebody that gets clipped and always comes back, Glover Teixeira.
Oh, man.
Absolute animal. I mean, like, his fight when he fought Santos.
Yeah.
Was absolutely brilliant fight. About a masterclass, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But you see him when he gets clipped, he just gets dropped in and he just scrambles and just it could be bloody the edge of the cage, the guy, his opponent's leg or the ref, but he's grabbing someone and he's got to wrestle it to the ground. That's quite funny to watch.
So Thiago Santos just got a new fight released last week against Alexander Rakic.
I didn't think he looked that great in that fight. Just his knee, and like everybody was talking about, obviously,
it's the amount chubby.
Of, He didn't look in shape, kinda, but apparently like, something about just with like the reconstructive surgery on his knees, he couldn't wrestle or do his jiu-jitsu or anything like that, and then he's training against somebody that is like a black belt in jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. and now he's basically getting put up against someone that's like an absolute kicking specialist, so he's got mm-hmm. to kick the legs from under him. I didn't like that fight just yet anyway.
Totally agree. I probably started watching UFC about 6-7 years ago, and Glover Teixeira looked old then. Still looks old. It's like he's a fucking. He just always looks the same. It's always been old.
You didn't start watching until friggin' McGregor's fifth fight, and then you jump on his nuts like everybody else.
Don't tell everyone. Mac Life, baby. New fight: Calvin Kattar versus Max Holloway. That's a scrap.
Love that.
Calvin Kattar's a man.
I know, but then you've got Holloway. To be honest with you, what do you do with Holloway? Because obviously, that's what Alexander Volkanovski says. It's like, how many times do I need to fight this guy type thing, you know?
I thought Holloway won the last one.
I did. I was the same, but then it's like...
So one more.
I'd like to see them fight until Holloway wins, but that's not the case. I just like him that much. But I think that fight there against Calvin Kattar is absolutely awesome. Calvin Kattar's a beast. He's so scrappy as well.
Yeah, in another moment.
But they're both quite intelligent when they're fighting. Again, they get
totally.
It's like intelligent violence in such a way where it's they'll throw and they'll just let hands fly, but they're not throwing aimlessly. They're
accurate striking.
Yeah, but even though they're like just like even when the Holloway one where he was standing, pointing to the ground, and then him and that guy they were swinging. If you watch, he's still moving his head when he's throwing these punches. Mm-hmm. It's not just like an absolute brute, like mauling type thing where you see some guys are just smashing fights again and again and again.
Sorry, just spotting my whiskey over their chair.
I was trying to cover you.
There's a bit of mint or something melted into my whiskey.
No, isn't it nice?
But anyway, Uriah Hall versus Chris Weidman, All American.
Uriah Hall.
They fought before, I'm sure.
Uriah Hall, the most boring knockout specialist you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I know. Dana White's a prick.
He's an absolute asshole.
He's the most boring gun shy person that knocks everybody out and quite violently
Sense. Yeah. Doesn't it make sense? He's like the most gun shy person. He just knocked the guy out.
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
More than what he did.
Knock him out quicker. Like, they clearly respected friggin' Silva and other assets, so he was taking his time and. Like, nobody moans at Cowboy Cerrone for being a slow starter. Nobody moans at all these other fighters. It's just the fact that he doesn't throw many punches, but the punches that he throws, he lands and he knocks fuckers out.
Totally.
Shut up.
Then
it's like, I can also see it's probably not the easiest thing to market him then going to fight Nizzy, but I'm like, how? He's knocking people out. There's your highlight reel. Just take the highlight reel or his knockouts. Job done. But I don't know.
Get Kevin Holland in there, but is he? I mean, he's what? Ranked 19th in the world?
Yeah, something like that. I think it was just the fact that he'd won his fight and then he just looked around and he was like, is he? I hate you.
To be fair, what he said was that when he was fighting, everything he got done against him or that he did, as he was like, shit. Like, just winding him up from the sidelines.
Really?
So, as he was watching him, because his teammate Carlos Ulberg was fighting in the Contender Series. So he was there,
right. Being
a dick, winding him up. And then everyone's like, why would Kevin Holland shout him out? They had no reason to. It's like, because he was winding up the whole fight. So there was actually a reason behind it.
Because it's so quiet in that, you could probably hear everything he was saying. It's probably quite hard to keep a cool head on that.
I was trying to wind him up completely. Final words in this section is Paul Felder.
Absolute animal.
G.
Absolute.
Ginger G.
He's just so good. To not only like step in the cage, drop 22 pounds.
Something like that, man.
22 pounds in four and a bit days. Go in and go, obviously, the full five rounds with, like, obviously, the former champ of the division. Absolutely. With no training either. It's not as though he hadn't set a foot in an MMA gym for something like 3 or 4 months.
What about his post-fight speech?
It was pretty emotional as well. It was even the whole run-up, the way he's talking about his dad dying and things like that, it was pretty awesome. Then... fighting on a Saturday night to then turn around and be like, I'll be at work on Tuesday to do these Contender Series. That's just absolute legend status. Legend status.
So there's always a term like there's no losers in that fight. And in that Felder-Dos Anjos fight, there was no losers because Felder came across, apart from the guy who took home half his pace, and he was a loser, obviously.
Yeah, no, Felder did lose that fight, lad.
Yeah, What I mean is,
I was being sarcastic.
Right. Wow. I was just underestimating you being that slow. You didn't actually pick up what I was saying. So.
I know.
Easy to believe. We meant to do this podcast for quite a few days running. So now we're about 4 hours from the fight. So when you hear this, you realise that our picks are really accurate and you're like, yeah, the guys knew their shit.
They were.
Or they really don't know their shit and fucked it.
Well, either or, we'll keep posting these. Just fake it till you make it, as they say. Fake it till you make it. So
that's my life. Hashtag winging it.
Head first, eyes closed, can't lose. That's my motto.
Our pronunciation of the week came pretty fast on this one. We've got the main event, and we've got the Brazilian
Davison Figueiredo.
You've listened to too many embeddeds.
I've got you, son.
Pissed off. I definitely thought you were gonna cut that up.
How? My speech, like, I've been away, had some speech therapy classes. I mean, beyond the scale, ladies and gentlemen, this is a new animal. Chris Ingalls 2.0. Like, strong. He's actually rocking a beard. If you could get this on video, you would see how perfect this beard looks. Full, lush, mane of manliness covering my whole chops right now.
I don't need to video some of this. Or I'll post a photo of this. Pupless prick on cam.
Sideburns and tash.
So we've got Davison Figueiredo versus Alex Perez in the main event. I've got a coupon on. I'm taking Perez. Man, after watching him chop the fuck out of Yossier Formiga, I think he's got it. I think people are very underestimating Perez.
I think they're underestimating Perez, but at the same time, you've got... The champ is like kind of unique in that weight category where he's got that knockout power, you know. I think I'd be very surprised if he did win. I'd be buzzing because obviously he was the one that put your bet on for you, seeing as you're an absolute degenerate when it comes to gambling and your money and your bank account details and all the rest of it. You kind of keep track of what you're doing. So I actually put a fiver behind it. So I'm buzzing if that comes in.
I wasn't in overdraft at that point. I mean, I might be now, but however. That's the end of the month. Ease up. It's like the 22nd, 21st of November.
Mate, you get...
It's a week for payday. I'm never going to have...
I talk as well. I can what happens in my own bank account.
That should be a good scrap, man. I'm looking forward to it. I think the leg kicks are going to play a massive part in that fight. Well, based on...
Being is obviously when they're kicking his legs, the same as what happened with Jiu-Jitsu Joey. He punched him clean in the face and knocked him out, or basically knocked him down when Joey was trying to kick the legs.
Fair.
It'll be an interesting fight. To be honest with you,
Figueiredo's a big underdog. Sorry to interrupt you there. Figueiredo's a big favourite.
Yeah,
to this,
I don't think it should be as big as it is. But it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. I'm interested for this fight. It's actually, considering it's the 125 division, I'm never normally caring about that. If I'm being honest,
I was listening to Mike Heck's podcast from MMA Fighting, and he's like, this is like flying under the radar card of the year, like could be, has potential. Flyweight fights are always exciting, they're always interesting.
Just how quick they are, I suppose.
Exactly. I think people are like, so we played golf earlier on, I was with my brother, and he was like, oh, but they don't have knockout power. Well, apart from these last like 2-3 fights,
if you look at Davison Figueiredo's record, TKOs, KOs, KOs, TKOs, KOs, submissions, he's an absolute beast.
Moving on for that, we've obviously got the Bullet, Valentina Shevchenko versus Jennifer Maia.
No, do we have to talk that? We're not going to waste your time or your time listening to this talk. Valentina Shevchenko is going to have it done in 1-2. I think I'm going to be generous to Jennifer Maia, and I'm going to say the third round. I think it's going to be the second, but I think it'll be the third round.
Yeah, there's two ways this could go. Jennifer Maia's going to run and get clocked, or she's going to not run in, play it, and Shevchenko's going to play it boring, and it's going to go to a 5-round decision.
I don't think so. I think Jennifer Maia's got to know that she has to kind of rush in. She's getting bloodthirsty. So I think that kind of plays into Valentina's hands. This is going to be, I think, 3 rounds, Valentina will have it done. I'd be surprised if it went any further. I feel as though every fight that she does, she is getting better.
Actually, underrated as well. Everyone's like, I don't know if you would consider her the best women's fighter of all time, but if she's not there, she's up there and she's second, third.
Well, like, who would you put above her? Like, obviously you've got Amanda Nunes,
which I would put above her.
I would probably go Amanda Nunes above her.
But at their natural weight, so she's 125, Amanda Nunes 135. That would be a good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
she was too small for 135. That's what they fought at.
Yeah, no, I get that. And by the way, it was a close fight as well.
Split decision.
So, I think Amanda Nunes probably maybe I don't know. I'd probably say they're joint at the top. I don't think. But then who else would you put above her? Realistically, you got to tell me you've got to put friggin' Holly Holmes. Nah, I wouldn't say so. I mean, Holly's good, but she's no.
Paige Van Zandt.
I mean, I'd put Paige Van Zandt any place that I could. But then...
Touché, brother.
Above Valentina, nope. Nah. As I say, you've got basically, I would say the two of them.
And next, we have the middleweight bout on one side from... Mike Perry, and you've got Tim the Dirty Bird Means on the other side.
The Dirty Bird. Tim Means actually asked for this fight when it got announced that Mike Perry, that Robbie Lawler dropped out. Mm-hmm. Tim Means actually asked for the fight. So that kind of, that's a statement in itself. I didn't really have much to say on this because I'm actually wearing a Raw Dog hoodie. Oh, I can't believe we should have had this on video. We're not sure.
We can get pictures.
Mike Perry is an.
If your study wasn't such a shithole, we get pictures. Actually,
mate, this is a podcast. Come office. Come second room. Come
cat cupboard. Fucking yep, everything. Fuck. You name it. I'm agree, man. Mike Perry is a fud. I think he comes from a difficult background. I don't think it's maybe he is. He's different. Definitely different.
Yeah, he's got umpteen amounts of assaults charges against him against women in that, I think, as well. Which,
okay,
I think I'm pretty sure his ex-missus.
I heard a recording, and yeah. I'm sure she has, it's like her mum or his mum screaming, shouting the police.
I think it was his mum.
His
mum phoned the police. I think he assaulted her. His mum came and picked her up, took her to her house. And then he turned up at the house and everything, and she phoned the cops. So I'm pretty sure that there's no smoke without fire. I mean, Derek Ryan, you kind of judge everybody like that for sure. But I think just with the way the acts and things like that, I wouldn't be surprised if that's.
How do you think this fight's going to go?
I hope that Tim Means puts him in the second or third.
Apparently, Tim Means is a really good grappler, a really good wrestler, but he just likes to brawl and stand and bang. Yeah. And it's like.
They say that
you need to be smart in a fight. Yeah. You need to, like, if you're not going to win on the feet and you're better on the ground, fucking take it to the ground. Like, I don't understand.
But I think Tim Means is better overall and everywhere other than the scrappiness, you know. I think technically he's better than Mike and all the rest of it. I think just Mike can basically bite through his gum shield, push forward, and, like, and chin in the air, and he'll just keep punching until somebody puts him out. So. I think that's where Mike's going to win if he does, and then if he doesn't, I think it's got to be the case of Tim taking him apart. I don't think Mike's in shape for it. I don't think he's done nearly enough training. I think
we done a 2.3 mile run the other day in fucking 32 minutes. What's not in shape about that?
Corey, I could probably tie your legs together, and you'd still be able to do that run in that time.
I wonder if that was going where you could tie your legs together. I was this is a LBGT podcast, so we're totally open.
Yep.
fucking hope they can't listen to this. Mike, I think Perry's gonna win that, man. Like, I think we're gonna be sitting here tomorrow. I think he's gonna win.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I hope not.
Because he's heavily pregnant girlfriend in the corner is gonna give him really good corner advice. Yep. And she's gonna go, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. You're doing great, baby.
I am. Should have put Dan Till in there, you know. Dan Till would have been able to tell him
the royal himself.
That joke must be killing him. The fact that he's actually making, because I don't think, obviously, Mike Perry's good with his money and shit like that. And then
I think he's shite with his money.
Yeah. And then
he's like, damn fucking taxes. It's like, yeah, mate, taxes are life. Like, the only thing that's certain in life are death and taxes. Like, get a fucking grip.
And then you see Dan Till out there making, like, obviously, hundreds of thousands of pounds off of the Rog Dog brand, Rog Dog hats, hoodies, beer.
It's sold out of lighters.
Yeah, it's
got to be. So the beer's thing, he's trying to hang his hat on, so he's like, beer, like, everything's a one-off, but the beers are staying. Yeah. Like, Apparently, people have been offering him money from Dubai, Hong Kong, for the Raw Dog beer.
Okay.
If you were to go in a random pub though and put Raw Dog beer, nobody would know what the fuck that is.
I bet it'd be cool if you could get a can of Raw Dog beer.
If you're an MMA fan.
Oh, you'd be absolutely buzzing.
But to the neutral, I mean, absolutely nothing.
No, they'd be like, you've got Corona or Carlin.
Did you watch this fight back the other day? Mauricio Shogun Hua versus Paul.
Okay.
Paul, what's the name?
The Bear Jew.
Bear Jew, what a name.
He changed this though.
It was because it's highly offensive, I'm sure.
Well, maybe. Well, it stuck.
Yeah.
Paul the Bear Jew, Craig versus Shogun. No.
I thought Craig, Paul Craig, like, he I'm Scottish. I'm totally biased. I think he's a fucking killer, apart from when he gets killed, which is most of the time. But apart from that, he looked fucking so good in that fight.
Nah, I think if you go to like the judges when you're basically in Brazil with Shogun.
Ah, it was in Brazil. Makes sense.
You've got fucking no chance. And you might as well punch your own ticket.
Unless you're Kobe and you shoot your dirty animals at them, then you're definitely going to win.
But he had left the guy in a pool of his own blood, as Kobe would say. My money's on Paul Craig. I think he basically looked at legendary status that is obviously Shogun. And I think he basically gave him too much respect and then didn't try and put it on him. I think Paul Craig's probably, I hope he gets this one done.
Smart fight though, Paul Craig. Like, he's getting a rematch of a legend. Like, yeah. That's what you fight a legend. You probably hope you don't win. You probably hope that you want a rematch. So you get that fame, like that kind of name value again. Like, it's smart, man. Like, his followers, I've watched it. He's went from like 20,000 to 50,000, 60,000.
Really?
Growing just because of that name value.
There you go.
I'm probably going to take Paul Craig if he fights like he did the last fight. Yeah. If he fights like he fought the other fights, got to take Shogun.
No.
Shogun's actually only lost one in the last 7 years.
That's scary when you look at it like that.
To Anthony Smith. Yeah. Can't remember them, but he beat Killers. That's all I know. He has actually.
He beat people in the UFC, put it that way.
Keep talking, I'm going to fault.
You've got to prove a point here. No, he is. He's done well. You think, with the fact that he only got beat by Smith, you think, why the hell's he not been further up the rankings?
Everyone's like, he should retire. It's like, are you joking? He beat Tyson Pedro, he beat Jean Violante, he beat Nogueira, he beat Nogueira again, and he beat Corey Anderson. Corey Anderson beat fucking loads of killers in that division.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he's actually
Corey
good.
Anderson was supposed to be getting like the next title shot until he got put out. So
there we go.
By the Polish power.
Point made. You got, and next up you got Brandon vs Brandon and Brandon Royval versus Brandon Moreno.
Yep. No, I love the baby assassin, the wee Mexican killer.
But feel his butt coming.
But I think this is gonna be a tough fight.
Roy Val's good, man.
I think this is going to be a tough fight. I think Roy Val, it's so hard to say this because then I feel as though both fighters are so technically good. I just feel as though when you've got the Raw Dog, Brandon Royale, Roy Val.
My Googling skills, baby.
He is. I think his last four fights, he's just totally coming through and he's just shown just a wee step up in his game. I feel as though it happens with everybody. They get better and then they kind of plateau and then something happens, a wee learning curve comes again and they kind of get a wee bit better. And I feel as though he's just been on that wee trajectory ever since he's lost to, who was it again? Who's his last loss?
Royval.
Yeah.
It was way outside the UFC. He's only had two fights in the UFC and he's fighting number one contender.
Yeah, I know.
That's mental. Like, that rise, right? He's from Factory X in Colorado, Denver, with Anthony Smith and Mark Montoya. He's training with killers, and that's part of it, man. It's like who you train with is.
Yeah, and then I suppose also getting put into the UFC as well. That probably puts a wee fire in your belly as well.
Mm.
Kind of being able to walk around and say, I'm the UFC fighter and whatnot.
Definitely, man. I think the spinning back fist when he was getting taken down was so cool.
Yeah.
What fight was that again?
That was when he was against Kai Kara France.
I thought it wasn't.
Kai Kara France.
Now that was cool, man. He's pretty slick. I think he's pretty slick everywhere, to be honest. He's got to where he is because he's good.
I think this will be a close fight. I think this will be a great fight. I think it's always weird when you see that the baby assassin, he smiles when he gets punched. I'm just like, oh, you...
Yeah, he's nuts. He looks nuts.
His fight... who was it against? Did he also fight Kai Kara France?
If you give me enough time to Google it, I'll tell you.
I feel like he did. I'm almost positive.
His last one was beating Jussie Famiga.
I'm pretty sure. Hold on.
Nah, he's not for. Ah, he has.
Yep, I knew it. And that was why I was saying that I was the hand that. One. Yeah.
The flyweight division is pretty interesting because they've all kind of beat or got beat by each other. It's pretty close. There's no real standout stud.
I think it might just be because styles do make fights, Corey.
That's what I was going to call the podcast.
I know.
Styles make fights. What were our suggestions?
Oh, we had some. We made some stupid ones up. We had the Kilted MMA podcast,
which I liked, but obviously when a strike to stardom, you can't just be beholden to Scotland. Scotland's quite a small place, so we need to be global, mate. Global.
I liked that one. I also liked the Degenerate MMA podcast. That was my other suggestion.
That was too true that I had to think of someone else. It's too close to the bone. But yeah, next up you've got
Joaquin Buckley.
Jacqueline Buckley.
Chris 2.0. I told you.
Yeah, smashing it tonight. So, versus
the
Hollywood Ninja, Jordan Wright.
So
who fights from John Jones's gym in Albuquerque? Who's a killer?
Who's gonna do the spinning back kick this time? Is it gonna happen?
Mate, they're both exciting. This is why I love the fight, class, interesting, but keep them for another day. Because they're both going to go, I think they're going to go places.
Yeah,
so
you'd hear them build them down the road like they would do in boxing and kind of build both of them up in their own rights.
Yeah.
That's why we like the MMA, so, because in the UFC, for the simple fact being, they do give you the fights that you want to see.
Yeah, I think we're good, man. Jordan Wright got a spinning back kick. There was a first thing he threw in the first last fight. And the guy he fought was an absolute scrapper as well, that Villanova.
I think that was the most trending most trending clip on the internet or something like that, that spinning back kick. Or something like that. It's like
not Joaquin Buckley, so you may be getting mixed up.
Yeah. I thought that was who you were talking about. No,
no, I was talking about Jordan.
Sorry. That spinning back kick was apparently the way it trended on YouTube and everything like that, like it was the most viewed thing that the UFC's ever produced, which is quite weird when you think of all this shit Conor's done and all that.
Ah, he thinks he's a G because of it, and to be fair, he is. However,
that was a thing of beauty.
However, you got to do more than that to be known in this world, man. He went home with fucking 100 grand or something. Not going to do your whole life, eh? Not going to pay the bills, not going to put your girls to school.
No, but he reckons that that's just part of his game. You know, he thinks that he says that's only part of the skills that he's got to show.
That's worth shite.
Me too, 100%. I feel as
though. Find it tonight.
Well, money where his mouth is.
He's a big boy.
I actually bet against him.
I took Jordan Wright.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Alex Perez and Brandon Royval for a 10 or 300 back. The reason I'm getting 300 back for a tenner is because it's not going to happen.
No, I followed that up with a fiver and then I put a fiver on Jordan Wright to win.
It's quite a sensible bet because you put a small wager that's going to make your money back if the whole thing goes tits up. It's like, that's make money back. Not going to be the greedy bastard and hold it for 300 quid. Just take the tenner, run.
That'll be interesting.
Next up, you've got Antonina Shevchenko versus Ariane, the Queen of Violence. Lipsky, love a name. Queen of Violence. Queen of getting decked if she gets beat. Big name.
Pretty much no super interested in this fight. I feel as though she's a poor imitation of her sister.
Yeah, fair.
I'm being honest.
Yeah, fair. Jojo Calder would beat Lipsky as well.
Yeah.
So do I. One of them's going to win. That's what I'm
Well, unless it's a draw and then nobody does.
It'd be funny if it was a draw.
That would.
Next fight on the card. And this is a good one, man. It's quite low down. Like, this could be co-main event on a fight night.
Yeah.
But Nicholas Dalby's fucking animal. Like, so he's back in the UFC.
Yeah. I feel as though it'll be an interesting one. Probably because it's a pay-per-view, they probably need to kind of give people the incentive to buy it in the first shot. But, nah, it'll be interesting. I'm curious to see how that one goes, but all in all, I think it'll be some good viewing for a slightly hungover Sunday.
Nicholas Dalby tried to kill himself and then went to Cage Warriors, went back to the UFC. He was the guy that fought Ross Houston in that absolute blood war where it had to get stopped. Ross Houston's the champion. Kept getting stopped because he kept slipping in his own blood. And it was like, so messy.
That's wild.
Dalby got called up to UFC and Houston
got left to where he was.
Didn't got you by MVP and Bellator. So now that should be a good one, man. I'm looking forward to that. D-Rod's a fucking beast as well.
Yeah.
His last fight was, I don't know if you remember, it was the first Dwight Grant. You've watched that fight. You might not remember the name, but he got knocked down. He was getting nearly finished, got back up, and then knocked the boy out. And the referee should have stopped it.
Yeah.
And it was one of the total low-key cards where you're like, this is going to be shite. And it was fantastic, great fight.
Definitely stopped kind of like calling, like not being as interested in cards, because the last few times I've done that, and then I watched them back, I was like, oh my God, there's been some absolute amazing knockouts in these cards, or there's been some absolute brilliant wee scraps. So I think there's always wee gems in like
totally,
in cards where they're no got the big headline and names on them, but I think it'll be a good interesting fight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watch it, man. And I apologize, there's been a bit of hiatus on this side for a few weeks slash months, but
a little longer.
Yeah, but nah, enjoy it. We're gonna do it again.
Yeah, nah, for sure. This is us. We're kind of got to get back in the saddle, as they say. So we'll probably be back. I think we're going to try and make it a weekly thing on a Wednesday, so we can kind of preview the previous fights and see if we're talking shite.
That's a challenge. It's like you do it on a Monday, everyone gives a fuck about the weekend fights that just happened, but the weekend's fights during COVID could change so much that you don't know who's going to fight.
No. So unless you start doing two, and then it's like, but then realistically, we're lazy bastards. It's actually quite a lot of work to actually go into this. So it was, if any of have got John Anik,
especially when you got to pronounce the boy's name fucking 40-50 times before you got to come on it.
Pronouncing my own name's hard enough, guys. Never mind a fighter.
Tris.
But if any of are interested, go and have a wee look at John Anik's Instagram. I was actually so interested in like just seeing the amount of work that he actually has to put in.
Mm-hmm.
For basically like announcing stuff and all the rest of it. It's like, it's clearly no kind of scripted until he actually starts calling the fights, which is like totally. Really quite, must be so hard to do. And also kind of stay in the moment, but also talk to, I think it's, yeah, that's probably why he gets paid the big bucks.
It's tough being the host / producer as well, especially when you work in technology, yes, but you very much work on the fucking sales side. When you get down to the technology side, what's this button do?
The main reason this actually got put on a hiatus is because I kept on ripping Corey for how shitty the computer was working and that it couldn't actually make something so simple to me actually work. That was what happened. I'm only joking. Corey's been at me for ages. I just got sick of him ripping a hole at me for saying, hi, my name is Chris.
This is where everyone's sleeping. Anyway, take it easy, guys. I hope everyone enjoyed that. It's good to be back.
Yep.
Really enjoyed that one.
Hopefully, get a wee bit of feedback, see what you all think, and we'll be back on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
For you to listen and hear us spouting some mare pish.
Thank you very much for listening to Beyond the Scale. Cheers, guys. See you soon.